attitude, or you won't last very long in your new status. And for greater well-being, you should clean up your past mistakes and get your house thoroughly in order before you try to live a new life. But it doesn't change the fact that you can live that life or any other kind of life that you choose if you really want it, just so long as it is in keeping with the realities of the situation. But it does involve tipping the lid on the box. And that's what stops most people. And it must be recognized that it is the box that causes the individual to constantly lower his standards, to expect less and less from life. Every mistake you make will be paid for ultimately. But the price of that mistake will depend upon your attitude toward it. If you face it squarely and quickly, the price can be relatively cheap. But if you try to cover it up, you are simply making mistake number two, and then number three, and on and on and on. And all of those mistakes will have to be paid for eventually, and the price can get to be pretty tremendous. And that, to me, is the meaning in the old saw, the sins we do two by two are paid for one by one. Because you will have to pay for them one at a time, but it's very easy to arrange them or to pile them up two at a time, simply by one covering up the other. Once again, mental well-being is the goal, not the hiding of your mistakes. 20 years at one job, monogamy, a spotless reputation, the approval of any one human being, these are not the ultimate goals in life. They may turn out to be profitable means to the ultimate goals of well-being, but they are not the only possible means, and they are not to be considered ends in themselves, or even to take on the sacrosanct status that by at all costs, happiness must be achieved through these means. Long-term means must be reappraised continually in light of new knowledge that has been acquired since the last appraisal. I don't mean every day or every minute, but periodically, your long-term goals must be reappraised to see if they square with the realities of the situation and the nature of you. You are not going to lead a mistake-free life, so don't even hope that tomorrow will see the beginning of some new streak or trend, a trend of perfection. In fact, to live your life so as to avoid ever making a mistake would block you off from practically every good kind of well-being possibility in your life. There is, I think, a much more valuable approach than trying not to make mistakes. What you do is to construct a perfect framework, not a perfect record. Create for yourself the framework of life within which you can freely act, exploring, discovering, and making mistakes. A perfect framework is one in which you have limited your vulnerabilities so that you can just go right ahead and make mistakes that won't cost you your life or a large part of it. A perfect framework means knowing how to deal with mistakes when they happen. A perfect framework even includes recognizing that there will be times that you will experience physical or mental pain, but knowing how to deal with it so that it won't create irreparable damage. When mistakes are made, you look at them impersonally, because that mistake is now a part of reality. It is unchanging beyond your control because it is now in the past. So emotion is totally inappropriate. So you made a mistake. All right, in terms of that, what is now the most profitable alternative available to you? You can't reverse history. It has already happened. But if you set your mind to it, you can control the future. If you construct the right framework, you can be free to act very emotionally, and you can enjoy the pleasures of life to the hilt, because now you will have no fear of the consequences. You have eliminated the possibility of bad consequences in the situation. The individual who says he doesn't like to approach personal matters intellectually because they take all the zing out of life has probably never experienced half the zing that he could have if he intellectually eliminated his vulnerability before acting. Then he can let his emotions really run free, because there's no hangover coming tomorrow that would otherwise dampen today's pleasure. Let me give you a harmless example. One night I had some tedious work to do, editing a lecture, as a matter of fact, and I knew it was going to take several hours to get it done, and perhaps from disinterest from having to do the work at that particular moment, I had a terrific craving for taste in my mouth. So I looked in the refrigerator for something to eat, and as usual, the refrigerator was somewhat bare, being a bachelor and all that. All that looked interesting in there were three partially filled wine bottles. And with my limited capacity, they had probably been